Hej och välkomna till Healingpodden. En podcast om att läka sitt mentala, emotionella och spirituella jag med mig, Molly Mossebäck. Hej och välkomna tillbaka till ett nytt avsnitt av Healingpodden. I det här avsnittet så pratar jag med Lilly som kommer från LA i USA. Och det här är också faktiskt det första avsnittet på just engelska. Så om du inte känner dig bekväm med det så behöver du inte lyssna vidare nu. Men det här avsnittet handlar väldigt mycket om just att förändra sitt liv, att, ja, men att ta beslut efter sin känsla och att våga göra stora förändringar helt enkelt för att kunna må lite bättre. Lilly är verkligen en superinspirerande människa, bubblig, varm, härlig, så det var jätteroligt att få prata med henne om hennes liv och få nya perspektiv på läkning. Jag hoppas verkligen att ni kommer tycka om det här samtalet. Då kör vi. Welcome, Lilly, to Healingpodden.
Tack.
It's my first... what do you say, international guest, and it's the first time I'm doing it in English, so bear with me. But yeah, you have, I know you through a friend, and you have a really, like, interesting life story, so I've heard. And yeah, I think this is a great opportunity for you to share that with people and your insights and everything. But let's start with, like, how are you feeling today? How are you today?
Today I'm feeling sleepy and warm from the sun. So I'm feeling like sleepy, warm, a little tired, also really kind of like happy and a bit like childlike in some ways.
Nice. That's super nice. Yeah, so I mean, you know my friend Olivia.
Yeah.
And she told me, she told me about you, and you're from LA from the beginning. Yeah, would you like to tell us about, like, your upbringing there and, like, what you experienced? Yeah, growing up in LA.
I will say that it was really hot.
Yeah.
Like how it is today.
Yeah.
It's a hot day and it's like this a lot. Like, it's a very hot place. When I was a child, I used to get nosebleeds like all the time. Thankfully not anymore. And I'm an only child, so it's just me and my parents. Very small kind of family. And they both worked a lot. So I think most of my, like, social life happened at school, like, with people in my class and, kind of after school as well. We have, like, it's like daycare. I don't know. Do you have the same thing here?
Yeah, we have daycare. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, like, after school as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. In this a lot. Oh no.
And I was like, ding.
Oop, I'm gonna turn my phone off. yeah, so kind of, I feel like I was born of loneliness. So that's a big informer of the path I'm currently on.
Yeah.
Because I was alone a lot, and it has led me to lots of interesting places. I know people talk a lot about how your wounds can also be your gifts. And for me, it used to be just a wound to me, like, just so lonely. But now that I'm getting older and I'm growing more and I'm just noticing more about my life, I can see how it's guided me. I had a career as I had a spa and I did massage, and that was because it was a safe place for me to have touch, where I could touch people.
Oh yeah.
Because there's really clear lines and it's mostly like me touching them, so there's a lot of like safety and control in a way. So I had a whole career from this, and then also my main source of community in my like 20s is and early 30s was acro yoga. And I have friends like all over the world from this part of my life, and it's the same idea of there's community, there's touch, there's connection, but it's with really clear lines, like
very in control all the time.
Yeah, there's not like a question, there's not as many gray areas per se with this type of thing.
I guess you don't have to be that kind of vulnerable in a way either, because you have so many guidelines in like what's okay and not, maybe.
Yes, it's definitely it feels safer for my body. And now I'm in the phase where I'm finally like starting to be able to dance in the gray area. And so I think you're meeting me at the point in my life where I'm beginning to have more gray areas, and my safety has gotten much wider.
Was it like, just like when you grow up, was it like, did you feel like you felt lonely, but did you feel like it was like you were separate from everyone else? Like, is that kind of the culture you grew up in, or did you feel like you didn't belong anywhere, or what was the feeling like? You said loneliness, what did it mean for you?
Say yes to all of those things. I think America's in a very individualistic culture, foundationally. And they really pride, you're rewarded for being an individual, for standing on your own two feet, for not needing anyone else. It's very cultural. So some of it was just culture that I was raised in. Some of it was my family culture. Both my parents worked really, really hard at the sacrifice of a lot, but also the giving of a lot of safety in like a financial sense. Like, I never worried about someone taking away our home. That wouldn't have occurred to me. So there was a certain safety that provided, but they just weren't really around.
What did that like do to you, like when you were a kid? Did you feel that back then, or is it something that you felt like looking back? Did you feel like, oh, I wish my parents were more like present, or is it something that like you reflect on now, or was it like present for you then?
It was present for me then, but I wasn't aware of it like mentally.
Yeah.
And it's only now that I can see that visually, but I felt it. It was very in my body, and a lot of my coping mechanisms, of course, are like a reflection of that. Like, I've noticed with television that for me it can become very addictive, but it's only when I'm alone. So like things like this became like my friends, like story, reading books, entering a world where there's people doing things together. Watching a TV show, and you know, all of the characters almost become like familiar friends. Who's dating who? You know, what's going on with them? Oh, they're handling this crisis situation together. And so that was my kind of sideways route of getting my needs met, which is I needed community, I needed adventure, I needed connection. And so I had a lot of those kind of, I guess you could look at it as escapist, but now I see it more as I was just trying to find that in the way that I could find it. But now that I'm out, like, I'm in Udebo right now. We're in Udebo. And there's so much community here. And I just, like, don't want to watch TV because it's
Yeah.
I can't read a book. I haven't been able to finish a single chapter of a book because I get bored because they're the people. They're right outside. Mm-hmm. You know, the village is there.
Yeah.
Just waiting with, you know, people going through their lives, illness, health, excited moments, depression, creative, you know, ideas. Everyone's got their own lives happening. Mm. And
I mean that's super interesting. I want to know, and I want to, like, the people that listening, like, what brought you here? Like, what's your story from, you know, growing up in LA, feeling these kind of feelings, and having your company and everything? Like, it seems like you had, you know, you had something there. What made you leave and come here?
Whoo! Let's breathe into that one. It's gonna sound cheesy, but it's true. It was my heart. I just knew that it wasn't my home I was supposed to be in. Like, it was the place I'd grown.
Mm.
But I always knew since I was young that it wasn't my home.
Mm.
Like, it was my parents' home and their parents' home. And I had been birthed there and was being raised there, but I just knew in my heart that that wasn't my home.
Mm.
And so when I had my business and I'd built this up and I had this whole thing going, and there was just always something in the back of my mind, like, there's this whole world out there that I haven't seen, with all these people I haven't met, on all these different ways of looking at things. Mm. And I want to taste that. And I also knew on the other side of that desire, even behind that, was like, my home is waiting for me.
Mm.
It's somewhere out there. I just haven't found it yet.
Yeah.
And when COVID hit, leading up to COVID, I had already been shutting my business down. I was resisting it a lot
because
it was really hard to do. I'd built this, it was like, you know, slaughtering a lamb or something. Mm. It was like I had raised this thing. I'd put so much effort, blood, sweat, and tears into this creation, and letting it go just was like, I had such a death grip on it. It was very difficult for me to do.
Mm.
But I was already letting it go. And when COVID hit, I wiped my hands of it.
Mm.
Like, okay,
yeah,
this is the perfect moment. And at some point during all of that confusion and what we were all going through with, like, lockdowns and what's happening and the questions of, like, what does it mean to be a good person and to take care of your fellow people and all of this, I had this desire to go to Costa Rica.
Yeah.
And go to this place called Pachamama, which is where I met Olivia.
Mm.
And within a week, I just decided to go, and I got the ticket and I just went. And it was one of the most difficult, powerful, exciting experiences of my life. Like, for me, it wasn't so easy. Like, I was sick almost from the day I arrived.
Oh god.
I was sick to my stomach almost the entire time I was there, and I would have stayed longer, but my body literally couldn't sustain.
Mm.
3 months was as much as my physical form could do that experience.
Were you able to, like, participate in, like, things?
I was doing the yoga, I was doing all the workshops, reimagining my birth ceremonies. That, you know, for me, there was this moment with my friend Sarah on my right side and Olivia on the left, or maybe it was the other way around, but I had each woman on either side of me, and we were at this woman's circle ceremony. And we took peyote, which is very actually difficult on stomachs, even when they're in a good place.
What is it?
It's a cactus. It's a medicinal, like a psychedelic.
Ah, okay, yeah.
But it can be a little rougher on the belly.
Mm.
And I already had all these belly things. And I just remember being like, what have I done? But having these two women with me and, like, the bond of that is, you know, it's indescribable. It's like I can feel this like sacred sister bond, and that we were together, and that's pretty much describes my experience at Pachamama, which is like physical pain and like opening and exploration and just almost like power, just pure power coming in. And from there, yeah, my relationship was kind of coming apart at this time, and it was something that needed to happen, but I didn't break up with him until a few months later. But that really kicked off the traveling very strongly.
Yeah. So at Pachamama, like, what kind of insights did you get? Was it like, I need to just change, or what was like the insights that you got? Like,
I think it was a beginning of learning to trust what I felt. It was, which is pretty much the path I'm on right now. But it was the beginning of actually listening to my body and my feelings and taking them as really important messages. Yeah. And also it was the beginning, I think, of the opening of the non-logical way of living, which is kind of the what I'm working on right now. Is I came from a very logical, my family is very super smart. My dad, you know, is one of those guys who, when he was a little kid, would like take apart the television to see how it would work and then put it back together as a casual project. And my mom's a librarian, and so she's got a little bit more of a flowy being, but she's also, you know, very intellectual, you know, a woman in a man's world. She was the head of the library, you know, like very structural in a lot of ways. And so I was raised with that kind of being the way you navigate the world as you think about things. And
did you talk about feelings at all? Like,
No, feelings were felt usually as pains. That's where I get, that's how I get that way of reading myself. It's like, oh, my stomach hurts. It's feelings showed up in the body as maladies that, oh, you're sick with something. Like when I was in high school, I got very ill, and I look back now and I realize I was depressed, but wouldn't have thought that. It was just, oh, I'm just ill.
Yeah.
I'm just sick with something. And now that I'm getting into more of a subtle body where I listen more and more and more in time, like in the moment, getting better at being like, you know, having something happen and go, oh, that hurt. I'm angry. What am I angry about? Oh, my stomach hurts. Oh, like it's much more in the moment now, and I listen. I take those signs, but this is a new practice, and Pachamama was the beginning of that, because going there didn't make any sense. COVID was still happening. Everyone was still in lockdown in Los Angeles, like flying to Costa Rica to go to some, like, you know, quote in quotation marks, hippie commune.
Yeah.
Was kind of an indescribable, inexplicable action. So, which now makes total, like, indescribable actions are now some of my favorite things.
Yeah.
Because they lead to the most indescribable, like, gifts on the other side.
Yeah.
Because when I plan things with my mind, it can squeeze the life out of the moments. And there's no opportunity for life to show up and give you the gift you really, like, like the juicy gifts.
Yeah. I mean, expectations, I guess, in every form is, you know, you put an expectation on something and then it kills it, because you can see something and then
if it doesn't like align with that or what with what you see, you know, and you see this and I'm gonna do that, and then you get there and it's like it's not that, and then you get disappointed and it's just this loop of like, you know, expecting things and from people and from places and from like life in general, I guess. And what you were talking about is like kind of a, as I interpret it, like a flow, you know.
Yes.
You just follow kind of the river where it goes. Like,
yes.
You don't plan the trip down the, you know, you just jump in and like see where it goes, kind of. That's how I see it.
And I love that you use the word river, because when I was first coming up with like what it was feeling like when I was feeling like crap and still in my kind of like, I'll put in also quotation marks, no one can see, my old life. I told people, I was like, I feel like I'm in a kayak, but I'm paddling upstream.
Yeah.
And it's exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And I can't seem to stop paddling upstream in this kayak, and I'm alone, and this is just, what am I doing with my life? And now for me, and I'm also connecting as I'm in this process, I'm connecting this with, I'm actually uprooting patriarchy and the wounded feminine and the wounded masculine in myself. Because the feminine part of me, or the goddess part, or the non-linear part, the way I speak with her now, is still use my mind. I still use my logic, but I don't squeeze her throat till she can't breathe.
Yeah.
What I do is I just ask her for what I want. I go, you know, I really need to get my bike fixed.
And now someone's fixing your bike.
I didn't plan it.
Yeah.
I just, it's all about knowing what I want, and then, and how can I soften into the trust that it's going to work out. And not like completely hands off the rails.
Yeah.
But not squeezing it to death. Like if I had been, I already Googled exactly the bike shop. Okay, I'm going to that bike shop. Okay, I'll do that Monday. And then I might have missed the random beautiful opportunity. And so I feel like with the feminine, it's about communicating with the flow state. It's like, I'm hungry. I really want something green. I want something crisp. And just knowing that and feeling that, knowing it's okay to want something. There's nothing wrong with wanting anything.
That is so cultural, I think, like just wanting something, because you kind of like you grow up into this like you should do this, and like you should, you know, you should work, you should get a stable relationship. I mean, people ask you from like when you're a kid, like, what are you going to do when you grow up? When are you like, do you want to get married? Do you want to have kids? When are you going to have kids? When are you going to get this job? You know, like you just grow into this kind of, you know, box, like you should be here. And I mean, it's hard to get out of there, you know. It takes courage and vulnerability, and it's like you have to, it's hard. I guess it's a challenge to do that,
and you have to feel things, which is part of what's hard about it, because sometimes it doesn't feel good. Like sometimes I'll try something,
mostly I think it doesn't feel good in the beginning, and then like, you know, it gets easier. But I mean, I've talked about this with so many people, and like when you do something, you have this like view on like, oh, I'm gonna change and it's gonna be this amazing experience. And I think also this, you know, going to Costa Rica or Bali or whatever, like finding yourself, it has this like, people think you just go there and surf and hang out in the jungle, and then it's like, you know, the job does itself, you know. But it's not that, you know. It's like super hard work, and just, or hard work and in the same time just letting go, I guess.
Yeah,
in a way, you know, you have to feel all the fucking feelings, you know.
Yeah, and some of them are beautiful, and some of them are rage.
Yeah.
Or sadness, or stomach aches.
Yeah.
But I feel like the rage and the sadness are telling you what you don't like.
Yeah.
The other morning I woke up in a total rage. Like, actually woke up in the morning with my heart feeling like it was on fire.
Yeah.
Woke up just like, oh my God, how do I hold this? How do I feel this? And I, like, you know, punched pillows. I screamed. Actually, for the first time, did a tantrum. You know, like when you're a child and you pound with your arms and your legs face down, like on a bed.
Mm.
That was a new fun. Like, highly suggest for anyone who wants to try.
It's great.
A nice tantrum.
Yeah.
And it was with me most of the day, but instead of pushing it away or yelling at anyone else, I just knew that I was feeling it, and then it gave me time to reflect, why do I feel this?
Mm.
And it was because I had gone back into, I'm like starting to date again, and I had had like a sexual encounter with someone who I really like and I'm having tons of fun with, but I had kind of like a step backwards where I just repeated an old pattern of like, I wasn't really in the mood, he really was. And I was like, oh, I'll just give him a hand job.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
Which I've done so many times. Like, so much of my sexuality has been like a caretaker.
Mm.
Like, oh, it's not so big for me. Oh, you know, I'm going through something right now. I'm, you know, my sexuality's difficult.
Mm.
You know, I have to make sure they're okay.
Yeah.
Which leads me to shutting down. Literally, my vagina eventually closes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I am not interested in them anymore. So having already embodied this and knowing I want something else, I want to continue to open.
Mm.
I want more pleasure.
Mm.
I want more connection.
Mm.
I want more love.
Yeah. I guess it's so much about boundaries. That's the hard part, I guess, with like the healing journey. It's like finding, I think, both like acceptance and also like boundaries. Like that's what I hear when you're saying, like, you know, you just take care of people, like, and compromise yourself in a way. And I think that's so common for people to do that. Like, you want to just take responsibility for everyone around you and then, you know, own their feelings. And then you don't set boundaries. I mean, that's I think it's so common.
Like, it's now so common when
you say that.
And also, it's actually a really weird, almost manipulation game.
Mm.
I think that's the wounded feminine part, which is like, when I come back to trust, like real trust in myself, which is not all the time. It's more often lately, but when I feel it, I'm like, oh yeah, thank you. When I come back to trust, I know, when I'm in trust, I know that what is good for me is actually good for the entire planet.
Mm.
Because when at the baseline of who I am is I'm a part of this universe.
Mm.
And I actually am love, as is anyone else at the core. So while we are separate in this place, we are playing the separation game. I have to trust that I'm actually okay and what I want is okay. And that I need to respect if it doesn't work with someone else. Like, let's say I want to kiss someone and they don't want to kiss me. Like, respect that.
Yeah.
It doesn't make me wanting it wrong.
No.
And actually, if I own what I want and what makes me feel good and what lights me up, it's actually better for everyone, because then I'm not like trapping someone with a pretend game into being with me. Like, oh yeah, I like giving handjobs even when I don't like it.
Yeah.
Mm, yeah, this is fake Lily's here. She's running the show. And then they end up with me for 3 years.
Yeah.
Wasting their precious time.
Yeah.
With someone who's not a real them.
Yeah. I think it's like, you know, false advertising in a way.
Yes.
And I think, I mean, I can relate to this so much, like, just looking at a person or being with a person, and like, they're like this, and how can I make myself fit in here? and with this person and in this situation, and like making yourself small. I think we talked about this a little bit yesterday as well, like, you know, you meet someone and you feel like you're holding back, and then they feel like you're too much even when you're holding back.
Oof.
You know, and that is, I mean, that's so, I'm, yeah, it's, I can relate to that so much, like just not being the full you. And I mean, if you are like just, you know, 100% you, then you will meet the right people. That's how I felt, you know.
And that's why we're here.
Yeah.
That's how we're having, like, we're having this moment right now,
because
both of us are separately,
yeah,
but together, taking these steps in our own lives.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's how people find each other.
Yeah, definitely. Being more true to themselves, like, it's that's the part of connection, because you can't connect on false, like, you know, like, you can't, like, how do you say it? Like, if you're just faking it, you know, faking your personality or having like a mask on or something, like, you can't connect that way. Like, you have to fully show yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is scary.
Oh my God, it's so scary. It's so scary, but I think it's the only way if you want connection and contact and like healing and want like that full depth of like life. I don't know, in a way.
Yeah. We're asking for more, essentially.
Yeah.
My ex had a poster that when we lived together, it was always one of those posters I looked at and was like, ugh, such a lame dude poster. And then now I look back at it and I'm like, oh my God, it was such a profound poster.
Mm.
But I just wasn't grown up enough to see it.
Mm.
And it's just this kind of, it was this red poster with a motorcycle kind of on it, maybe like some parts or something. And it said, life needs more.
Mm.
I remember just being like,
oh my God,
eye roll. And now as I'm getting more life in my body, I'm literally welcoming more life into my life.
Mm.
I can feel it. It's a physical sensation in my body.
Yeah.
Like sometimes when I meditate now, not all the time, but sometimes when I meditate, it's just, it's actually orgasmic through my whole body. It's just life.
Yeah.
And the feeling of it is more. It's like life really wants more.
Yeah.
It's creative.
Mm.
It's playful.
Yeah.
Like what, like if you look around at animals and flowers and things, it's like everything's quite strange and funny. It's just life is, yeah, just like,
it's weird.
What do I do if I do this and that? And yeah, let's just bring more to the table.
Yeah. I think the playfulness, I mean, like I was taught that, like, you know, wanting more is like, in a way, it's like greedy, you know, like be content, be happy for what, like grateful for what you got. And I think that gratefulness is like key as well, but like not in a way, like it's okay to want more, like you're saying. It's like I'm in this position where like, okay, I don't feel good about my life, it's okay to want something else, like you did with, like, you know, breaking up or moving away or something, like changing something. Like it's okay to want a fulfilling, like happy, creative, playful life. And it's not crazy or going off the grid or whatever. It's just like you don't have to do the shit you're not happy with, you know.
It's not a requirement. And also I think greed is a side effect of lack, actually. Like the amount I consumed when I was closed and sad and not full of life, I consumed so much more stuff.
Yeah.
I went to so many places and did so many things and so many parties and so many more outfits and
Yeah, but I mean, you need the external stuff if you don't have it, like if you don't feel like a purpose inside, you know, or like
some it's meaning. A hunger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to get back on track, like what happened with your, like you went from Pachamama and then you broke up with your boyfriend and then like you traveled, right? What happened?
Well, actually,
after that?
Then I traveled.
Yeah.
I went to Pachamama, and I had been traveling before Pachamama, but just in California. And then after Pachamama, I started just traveling. And part of it was really inspired by when I was at Pachamama, one of my friends from childhood died. And he was someone who I hadn't been close to in later years, but when we were little, he was like the first person I like sexually explored with. And we looked kind of the same. We both had like a mole on our faces. I had mine removed, so you can't see it anymore. But we were both blonde. We were both only children with, you know, just two kind of hippie, but not hippie parents, kind of straight edge hippie parents. Lived in the same town, and so he felt like such a reflection of me. And he just died at home.
Oh my god.
Back in Sierra Madre, where I was born and raised. And I've experienced death a lot in my life already, so I cried a bit and I was sad, but it more than anything, because he was so alike to me, I was just like, I can really die at any moment.
Yeah.
Anywhere. I could be at home in my living room watching Netflix and I can fucking die.
Yeah.
So why do I keep waiting to do the things that I want to do? I'd been dreaming about traveling for years and I always was like, I'm not ready, you know, I don't have enough money. I don't have enough time. I have a house. I have a boyfriend. I have all these friends, you know, like, there's all this stuff, and it's real. All that stuff is real and exists, and I just realized I didn't have to be ready to try. I just realized I didn't have to be perfect, and so I just went. I packed a bag, and I just started traveling, and I got better at it the more I did it.
Yeah. What was the, like, the challenges, like, when you first started traveling?
Oh, God. Well, I started in France, and I did some woofing with a French family, and there's so many emotional dynamics of living with other people and language barriers. Like the limitations on my emotional skills combined with a language barrier was, like, you know, he hated me by the end of that stay. And I was like, I'm not the person. I'm like a very like kind guest in the sense that like I left the place clean. You know, I helped out with dinners. I did my work. But there's so many little things like, there was this whole thing with a toilet. You know, it's always the dishes or the toilet. Yeah, it's always something really basic. Where he would try to explain to me about this toilet that you had to, like, flush it again. Like, it had to do with the water running. And that took us a whole week to figure out for him to communicate to me how this toilet worked. And by the time he was able to communicate it with me, he was so upset. And I was so upset because I'm like, what do you expect of me? I don't speak your language.
Yeah.
Why are you mad? Haven't you hosted people before?
Yeah.
So, yeah. So much, yeah. Yeah, so, oh, and, you know, like, just, like, the logistical things of not knowing a country, like, waking up one morning to travel, also in France, and I was planning on taking the subway, but it was too early. It was, like, 3 a.m. or 4 a.m., and the subway was closed. Like, literally gates. And I had already changed my phone to a new SIM or something and didn't have service, and I was there like, how am I going to get to the airport? What am I going to do?
Yeah.
And it's like, I just figured it out.
Yeah. It builds confidence, I guess. Like, the just the action of, like, doing something and just challenging yourself in that way, you know, kind of just like, okay, I have no fucking idea how to do this, but, you know, it's gonna work out. And then it works out, and then you feel like, I guess that's my experience of traveling, like you were telling, like, you know, it builds confidence in yourself.
It does.
Mm.
I don't think I really got to that understanding until very recently as well.
Yeah.
I was mostly just constantly in my own little dramas, you know, shaking my fists at the sky.
Yeah.
And then later in the day, it would of course all be worth it when I was, you know, walking by the river and, you know, whatever, fill in the blank with a beautiful European experience.
Yeah.
And then it would be like, oh, okay, this is why I'm doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was traveling alone. Mm. So this is kind of, it was always very lonely. And I was always looking to share it with people, but when I would talk to my friends and family back home, it's like a different world. They're living a whole different world than I was at this point.
I mean, in a way, time stops, I guess, in when you're home. They have, like, it's the same, and then you go away and so much happens to you inside, and, you know, and then you talk to someone that are in the same place and feel like things haven't changed. I guess that's like, yeah.
And there's also just certain experiences where, like, I want to go and talk about the chocolate I ate in Paris every day.
Yeah.
And I can describe it to them, but they can't taste it with me. They can't share it with our bodies together.
Mm. Yeah. So you were looking for community, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how I ended up here, is I, yet again, very bumpy road with lots of alone time. Like, I had, like, a year of alone time. I was living in Virginia and working on a horse farm. And I was taking care of this property with all these cats. And it was winter, and we lost power for, like, a week. So I was, like, in the wilderness with all these cats, trying, you know, learning how to keep myself warm with firewood, and like how to do, I'm a Los Angeles girl, okay? Like, for all you like people who can chop wood out there, like, this is not my forte. And that was like really lonely, because I was still heartbroken. It's winter.
Yeah.
There's like no one else but the cats. And I mean, there's almost a surrender in these moments where it's like, you know, I'm dirty, I'm tired. I was also on my period, so I was like, my whole body's covered in soot, like Cinderella.
Yeah.
There's only one warm room in the house. I have to wake up every hour to keep the fire alive. So Jesus. Me and the cats are okay. Just for a week. And this was the winter time, you know, that winter moment. And I think maybe this is the moment where this moment was really born, because I so wanted people to be with. I love being witchy with cats in the woods, but I don't want to be. That's not the path I see for myself. Like, I want people, community, connection.
Yeah. And you came here.
And I came here. To Udbo.
And the community. And how would you describe Udbo?
Well, my favorite place on earth that I've been to so far. How would I describe Udbo? It's kind of like the best of all the worlds, in that the city is a 2-hour bus ride and a 1-hour drive away. But we're in nature. And there's so much hippie presence, community living, community support, but everyone has their own lives and their own space.
Yeah.
There's not one king ruling us all here with one vision of how it should be. But yet there's a feeling of connection and collaboration, so much creativity. I mean, everyone's working on something. My landlord, whose property I live on, he's building a little, like, kind of like glass house attached to his house where they're going to have as a cocktail lounge type thing. He's almost finished. My neighbors behind me, who I go over to ask for help for things or sometimes to have a dance party, they're both poets. And yeah, there's just this feeling that people are following their own creative journeys and open to collaboration. And I feel like this moment we're having right now, like, we're in Olivia's kitchen.
Yeah.
And you're here and you've got these microphones set up and we're having this conversation that you're going to be sharing with people.
Mm.
And this is exactly Udabo to me.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't call up a studio because I wanted to go on a podcast. It's like fertile earth and everything's just sprouting.
Yeah.
And here you are.
Yeah. Yeah, things just happens. And I think that's amazing. That's what I like. I mean, I don't live in this at the moment, but I mean, just like being around people that, like, I wouldn't say are the same, but like you share the same values and you share the same, like, how you see life and like with co-creation and like just being creative and like community and creating stuff together. I mean, that's when the, you know, when you have those kind of people in the same area, I mean, it's just, like you said, things just happen. Like, someone takes an initiative and it's just like someone brings another, you know, view on it and a new perspective and a new perspective, and you create these things that are just great. I mean, it could be a podcast, it could be a house, it could be like whatever, but it's something that, like, yeah, you just help each other kind of with stuff, and like it happens and it's amazing, and it doesn't have to be planned, you know. And that's what I feel like also for myself with like this podcast. I mean, when I first started, I was planning like questions, I was planning like, what should I say, like, I have to research this person, I have to like da da da. And I did the first episode and it went shit because I was so focused on like, what should I ask and what da da da, you know, the structure of it. And then like, just, I think just the letting go, and I think, and then like, okay, I'm just gonna sit with this person and see what happens, you know, in a way. And I think that's Udub as well. Like, yeah. Okay, I have this person in front of me. What can we do together? What can we bring to the table? What can we contribute with, kind of? And I think that's, I really love that. Yeah, I really love that.
Me too.
Yeah, it's great.
And I actually would like to confess that I love microphones.
Mm.
They're one of my many favorite things. You'll hear me say that a lot.
Yeah.
So this has been a true pleasure.
That's nice.
To be in front of a microphone,
yeah,
and have someone ask me about myself. I also love talking about myself. What a fantastic excuse.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, I'm just like, the time goes by so fast, but I'm just interesting in, like, you know, the life you have now and like what's so great about it, and like what do you love and why do you see, like, if you see, and why do you see, like, people, how do I say, like, change, how, like, why should people, you know, change to feel, like, why is it important?
Because they want to.
Yeah.
I think people should change because they want to change.
Yeah.
And if they don't want it,
yeah,
then don't do it.
No.
But, like, if you want, it just comes down, we come from this, like, desire is bad, evil, wanting things is wrong. But when you get down to the heart of most people, we're simple creatures. We like a nice sunny day.
Yeah.
Playing in the snow, good company, good food.
Mm.
And yeah, I feel like people should change because they want to change.
Mm.
And they're so worth it. And also they should know that their changing is actually a gift.
Yeah.
It's a gift to the world.
Mm.
Every kind moment that someone can give to themselves is a gift to everyone.
Yeah.
And the more softness and kindness they can cultivate in their own internal garden of their heart and their body, knowing that they're gonna fuck up and shit's gonna happen and like, yeah, it's gonna get weird.
Mm.
But just like bringing it back, like, okay, I lost my cool today.
Yeah.
How can I bring it back?
Yeah.
Why did I lose my cool? Because it's never without reason. That's the other thing. It's like people always have a reason to be upset about whatever they're upset about.
Mm.
Do they deal with it in really horrible ways? Yes.
Mm.
Do we hurt each other? And could we do it better? 100%.
Mm.
but it doesn't get better by being harder on yourself. Yeah. And I think that's where the confusion happens.
Mm.
So if people want change in their lives, I say yes. I just say yes to their change.
Yeah.
And I am so excited to see what magic they bring to the world, because it's going to be different than my magic.
Yeah.
Like, I'm never going to be the girl. Well, I say this now. Last time I said, I'm never going to shave my head, I shaved my head. But
yeah.
I'm still going to say this. I'm never going to be the girl who, like, is an expert at fixing bikes.
Yeah.
I don't think that's my path.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful that someone else is into that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they're making my life so much better because they're into that.
Yeah. But that's community. I mean, that's the great part about it. I mean, you are good at something and someone else is good at something. And, like, it's, you know, and you have all these people that can help each other. I mean, it's just service to each other. Like, you know, you need something and then you get something back. And it's not like always a deal, but it just happens, you know, like you get something, you give something, like, yeah,
it's a gift. We're gifts to the world. And when we're giving, we're just giving of ourselves.
Mm.
And then we get to receive things too, which is really nice.
That's nice.
I love getting gifts.
So do I.
It's so much fun.
Yeah.
Like, I was just getting such a high having, like, at one point both of the men downstairs were, like, working on the bike and it wasn't going well.
Yeah.
But I was just like, this is fantastic.
Yeah.
I've got two men working on this bike. Like, I'm the luckiest woman in the world.
Yeah.
What is this day gonna hold for me? You know, there's so much even more that can happen today.
Mm.
Yeah. And I want to be that for other people. So my job is my own garden.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh, there's so many interesting things to talk about. Like, the time is just like, it's just like, ah. But yeah, I'm just, to just finish this off, like, what do you feel like you're longing for now? Like, what do you see? Like, what's your...
That's a really hard question for me to answer in some ways. I know I'm ready. I'm longing for some more creative output on my own part.
Because
I've been in a very closed space in a way.
Mm.
Where I've been, like, taking in a lot. But I've started to get bored lately.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be bored.
Mm. To find channels to, like, channel your energy.
Yes.
Mm.
I am craving some... I'm craving giving now.
Mm.
Finally, after a long time of being like, no.
Mm.
I really am feeling more outward flow. Mm. And I don't have a clear vision of what all of that will look like, but that is definitely something I'm desiring. I'm really desiring to settle in more. I'd love to settle in more in Udobo and go in deeper, because I'm just loving the experience I'm having in the community. So yeah, my itch to travel is not happening right now.
Mm.
I'm feeling like a more sinking in. So I'm desiring more sinking in.
Mm. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, I'm just super grateful that you joined the podcast and that you shared your experience. I mean, it's super inspiring and it's beautiful to hear that, like, you're doing something for yourself. And I think it's gonna help a lot of people. So thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah. So much fun.
Yeah. Tack för att du har lyssnat på det här avsnittet av Healingpodden. Om det är så att du har uppskattat det jag gör och vill stötta podden på något sätt, så får du jättegärna gå in och ge den ett betyg på antingen Spotify eller på Apple Podcast. Det hade jag självklart uppskattat supermycket. Om du är nyfiken på mer så får du också gärna följa mig på Instagram eller på Facebook. Där heter jag Healingpodden på båda plattformarna.
Hoppas att du har uppskattat det här avsnittet och att vi ses nästa vecka igen. Hej då!